Okay, moving right along. Item 10, a report by our State Water Board Resources Control Board liaison member, Walt Pettit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you greetings from your real liaison, who's either in Italy or sitting in an airport trying to get to Italy, so I'm not sure which. She was due to leave, I think it was yesterday, on a well-deserved vacation. I wanted to mention a couple of items. The State Board took action on two rather long-standing controversial items last week, and both of them have been pending for quite some time. As Chairman Hoppin said at the meeting, that if anybody had bet him a couple of years ago that we would bring both of those items to the same board meeting for approval, they could have made a lot of money. But despite that, we did have both of them on the same agenda last week, and they were both approved. The first one doesn't concern this region immediately, and probably not for some time. It was a legislative requirement that we adopt minimum in-stream flow requirements to protect fisheries in a specific area, specific watersheds, in a region that includes a bunch of North Coast counties, coastal watersheds. And this was a legislative mandate. The staff had been working on it for some time. It was rather awkward because the legislation required that we adopt regional criteria that had to be applicable to a bunch of different types of watersheds. And that gets rather complicated when you try and adopt the one-size-fits-all. So the resulting staff work was quite conservative. Everybody acknowledged that. And we had a lot of input that suggested that we needed more provisions for site-specific studies. So after a lot of discussion, several board workshops, we have some provisions in there for people to propose alternative methods for specific streams, and I am hopeful that that's going to work. The long-term implication, and the reason I've mentioned this in this much detail, is that last fall's legislation requires us to develop a cost estimate and a schedule for developing similar in-stream standards throughout the entire state. And if the amount of money we spent developing standards for this region, that particular region that was covered by the existing legislation, as any example, this is going to be a huge effort and a long-term one. I think it's the end of 2012, is when we're required to present a cost estimate and a plan for basically going statewide. And obviously that isn't all going to happen at once. And given the budget situation, I'm not sure how fast it'll happen. But in any event, the situation has long-term implications for the entire state. And of course, these in-stream flow standards are always controversial. The second item is one in which we took a rather extraordinary step. You may consider it a bad extraordinary, and I'll try and explain what we did and why. And if Roger thinks that our action, or you think that our action in that case was sufficient that you need to revoke my visa to come to Region 3, well, remember that Ms. Weber was on the short side of a split vote on this item, so don't blame her for it. This was the effort that we've had going for a long time also to develop a plan for phasing out the once-through cooling process for the coastal electric generating plants. That's been highly controversial. As you may recall, US EPA was directed by Congress to develop this kind of regulation 35 or so years ago. I think it was 77 or something, back in that time frame, and they have not succeeded in developing a plan for existing facilities yet. So several years ago, the State Board decided to undertake development of a plan. I wasn't there at the time. I think it was the right thing to do, considering the fact that we would like to phase out those projects. I think everybody agrees that that should be a long-term objective. And EPA had not been successful, despite a couple of trips to the Supreme Court, to to get regulations for existing plants in place. So to make a long story short, the State Board started it. I was in the midst of it when I was appointed last fall, and we have had a number of meetings and a lot of discussion with both environmental groups and the plant operators, and there are half a dozen different plant operators up and down the state who all have slightly different interests. And of course, one common interest is cost. The item we adopted last week contains a number of provisions that are going to require continuous and heavy State Board involvement in things like mitigation plans, in review of cost estimates that these folks develop, that the generators develop to assess what they can do and what they think they should be required to do. There are some potential off-ramps there. The State Board Executive Director has to submit or appoint several committees, and we're going to have a lot of intensive analysis by outside parties with independent experts, and the State Board will be heavily involved in that. I'd been concerned for the last few months that given the real heavy State Board involvement, we were going to dump this back on the regional boards to reissue those permits, and that the regional boards would be stuck with trying to hear review of a permit and listening to all the same arguments up and down the state in each region that we heard ad infinitum over the last couple of years, and you would still have a lot of State Board involvement. So I was somewhat concerned about that issue. Incidentally, those permits of the 19 coastal plants at the time we adopted this order, 17 of those plants were already running on expired permits, anywhere from a year or two to quite a few years. As of yesterday, the last two that had valid permits expired. So we have all 19 plants are on expired permits right now. So given all that, I was somewhat concerned about dumping all this back and having the regional boards have to listen to the same arguments from the generators and the environmental groups concerning not the discharge permit so much as people trying to re-argue this policy we had adopted and the provisions in the policy that require review of cost estimates and scientific feasibility of mitigation proposals and so on. And as it turned out, at the last minute at the board meeting, a couple of our other board members apparently, well, they did, shared this concern. So in a last-minute development, the State Board decided that if we're going to stay involved in it that heavily, we ought to just take over the permits and handle those permits. The State Board members committed to, before any action is taken, to holding a hearing in the affected regions. Their hope is and their expectation is, I think, that it would be your staff that would be preparing their permits, the permits, and that the main reason the State Board would be involved would be to try and avoid rehashing the cooling water intake provisions that we spent a lot of time on and re-arguing the same issues over and over again and potentially having people trying to convince you with respect to those provisions as to what the State Board really meant. And I can anticipate you'd get a lot of arguments trying to reinterpret what the State Board adopted. So to make a long story short, the majority vote was to take over those permits. Now, does that mean anything's going to happen very quickly? I don't think so, because we have to submit this whole package to the Office of Administrative Law. That'll be a months-long process to get approval from them. And given the complexity and the length of this record and all the arguments that were made, we wouldn't be too surprised if OAL found some discrepancy in our record that would cause them to at least not approve it on a first go-round. Then there's still the potential for litigation. We were threatened multiple times with litigation during this process. At the end, people said, well, maybe we can live with this, but a couple of them, I notice, have been quoted as saying we're still thinking about it. So litigation is a definite possibility, too. The third thing is that since we have adopted a policy and New York State is in the throes of doing the same thing with a policy that isn't too much different, And EPA has been trying to get geared up to do a national policy. There is a potential that within a couple of years we'll have a national policy that EPA will adopt, which, unless all precedent is broken, would not agree fully with ours and would be somewhat different than ours, which might force us to go back and readopt this policy. So my point is that I don't think anything's going to happen immediately with respect to this, and the whole thing may get re-reviewed before anything happens. So that's where it stands, and I just, since this was such an extraordinary step we took, and hopefully not any kind of precedent for future actions, I wanted to try and explain as best I could why we did it the way we did. So I'd be happy to try and answer any questions, but that's where it stands right now.
So what I think you're envisioning is that you'd have a workshop or a hearing in the region, and there would be some members of the State Water Board itself.
That's correct. Either the full board or at least a subset of the board, more than one board member, obviously, that could either conduct the hearing and then take the matter to the state board for approval, or have the full board have a hearing in the affected regions.
Okay.
I should also point out that I don't know what happened in San Diego. I think it was yesterday. There's a plant down there that's on its last legs that the regional board might have terminated the permit for yesterday. There's the old PG&E nuclear power plant in Humboldt, in Eureka, that is really out of commission now, and they're replacing or repowering it. There's a couple in the Bay Area that are going to be out of the picture before too long. I think Morro Bay is pretty problematic from what we heard from the dischargers. I think they don't expect it to be in operation for any length of time. So my point is that these 19 facilities that we were talking about when we started are going to get winnowed down just by the existing process without any new rules. So
good luck.
Thank you. I'd like to think we did some good for you, but I'm not sure that's the case, and the time will tell. So.
No, I think perhaps you have, because sure. I think that we would entertain a lot of discussion about what the State Board meant with its policy, and things of that complexity would get appealed up to your board anyway.
That was
review, and so I think just, you know, it's a matter of efficiency also. And I know that the regulated community has been very concerned for years that the regions don't always apply policies consistently. And so this will really short-circuit all of that. And let's just hope that you protect the beneficial uses.
We hope so, too. And I have a lot of confidence in what the regions do, but we hassled over individual words in this policy and what they meant, changed things back and forth, and I could see that anytime anybody has an opportunity to comment on what that really meant, that opportunity is not going to be passed up. So that was basically the rationale. It is going to present some staff questions about who represents who, and you have an attorney who doesn't, you know, represent the state board staff. If this regional board staff develops the permit, there will be some staff assignments that we'll have to sort out. The last time I talked to the chief of the State Board's Division of Water Quality, the end of last week, he was still scratching his head, but he said, you know, we'll make this work. So that's where it stands at the moment. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board questions for Mr. Pettit? Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. Very nice to see you. I just wanted to make one comment. Bring to your attention, you probably know that we, in our EO report, there's a comment that the State Board might actually reinstate some funding for our CCAMP program. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention. Anything you can do to facilitate or accelerate that would be great, because we did We have seen good support for that program. It has grown. It has provided a great amount of information, and I understand from the update that we have coming to us later today, some of the other regions have seen newer developments of the CCAMP website, and they see some value in that as a model for their own programs. But, of course, we need staff, and we need to have that state board money to continue to push that forward.
I will look at that. I can't promise you anything at the moment, but I will look at that. And I will say that the state board technology staff, along with the program staff and the regional board staff and outside help, has done some great work in the last couple of years in getting these websites up where there's tremendous amounts of information available for everybody that we didn't have before.
Absolutely. So we're glad to play a role in that. So anything you could do to help us.
It looks like it's really worthwhile, so I'll see what I can do.
Excellent.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Briggs.